As we listen to God's holy word.
Good morning. It's great to be in God's house this morning. It's always an honor and a privilege to come and be here at Fletcher. This morning, the Lord has laid a heavy burden, a heavy thought on my heart this morning. We'll find the reading in the book of Matthew, chapter number 27. The book of Matthew, chapter number 27. And when you found your place, if you would please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Matthew 27, beginning in verse number 19. The Bible says, "When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. And when Pilate saw that he prevailed nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." I want to look at verse 22 in particularly. The Bible says that Pilate said, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" This morning I'm presenting to you, what will you do with Jesus? Pilate here is faced with a decision. And I believe every one of us in our lives, we are going to be faced with the decision of what we will do with Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, Lord, I thank you, Father, for the opportunity, God, to come into your house once again. And God, I thank you, Father, for saving my sin-sick soul. And God, I thank you today, God, for opening your word to us. God, I thank you for the wonderful song service that we've had this far. God, I pray that you'd help us to preach, God. Lord, with your power and with boldness, God. Lord, that words wouldn't be man's words, God, but it'd be yours. God, I pray, Father God, Lord, for your people. God, would you open the minds and the hearts of your people, God, that they'd be receptive to your word. Father, I pray today, if there be one that's here that's lost, Father God, that you'd save them before it's everlasting too late. And God will give you praise and glory for everything you do. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. What will you do with Jesus? I want to see firstly the scene that is happening here in the text. Jesus has been betrayed by one of his own disciples. His name is Judas. One of the 12 disciples has betrayed Jesus. And we know that Jesus had the Last Supper, and then Jesus went further and he went into the garden. And there in the garden, he was praying for you and for me. And he was praying for our sins and to receive that cup that he was going to have of our sins. He was praying for God's will to be done. And in that moment, Judas came with the guards, and they came and they arrested Jesus. His arrest was illegal. There was 10, 12, maybe even 15 illegal procedures that went on that the Jews had during this arrest of Jesus. There was a private meeting and the meeting at night and so much more, and I will not go into that right now. But during the time of Christ, most trials involving a criminal would take about 2 weeks. This trial that they did for Jesus took 9 hours. They moved it very quickly. And so they did this all in private and in secret. This arrest happened and they brought him before the governor of the land of Judea. That is Pilate. And so they bring him to Pilate, and Pilate examines Jesus and he says, "I see no fault in this just person." And he says, "I've heard that he's from Galilee." And so he sends him off to Herod. And so Jesus goes to where Herod is, and he comes before Herod, and Herod looks at him, and he says, Jesus, perform us a miracle. Perform something for us. I've been wanting to see you perform a miracle for so long. Jesus, just perform a miracle. But Jesus said nothing, and Jesus did nothing. And so finally, Herod said, I've had enough, and he sent him back to Pilate. And when he was received back to Pilate, Jesus is now standing here before Pilate, and Pilate says, what shall I do then with Jesus? That is the scene that we see. Secondly, I see that there is a situation. Pilate, he has a choice to make. He could let Jesus go free. He has said, I find no fault in this just man. But his reputation is on the line. He sees that the people could cause an uprising, and so if there's an uprising, he will be fired and likely killed. Pilate is in a situation of, do I let Jesus go free? Do I follow Jesus? Or do I risk losing my job? Do I follow the ways of the world? Do I keep going in the way that I'm going with the world? He's more worried about his reputation than anything else, rather than his salvation in Jesus. And there are many of us that have that same issue where our pride gets in the way. And that is what's happened here with Pilate. He's asking, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And the people, they cried out and they said, let him be crucified. Give us Barabbas. He's tried to offer them a choice. He said, I can give you Jesus, who's done nothing wrong, or I can give you Barabbas, a murderer. And so he thinks, for sure the people will take Jesus, who's innocent, and kill the murderer. I mean, that's the perfect same thing to do, but that's not what they chose. They chose to crucify Jesus. And so Pilate, he decided to take a step back and to make an indecision. But his indecision is a decision. He decided to wash his hands with water, and he said, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. And then he looked at the crowd and he said, see ye to it, meaning let him be crucified. You see, Pilate's decision was his indecision, and it is his final decision. The blood of Jesus is on Pilate's hands. And so we, all the same, are at a crossroads in our lives where we are faced with the decision of what will we do with Jesus. Or maybe you have already made that choice of what you're going to do with Jesus, but now you're at another crossroads of who are you going to tell about Jesus. You have many different choices that you can make in your life. There are choices listed all throughout the Bible. Many different questions, but I believe this question may be one of the most important questions throughout the Bible, is what will you do with Jesus? I want to take a look this morning at some people who made a decision about what they were going to do with Jesus. I want to see, thirdly, the spectators. First, I want to see the crowd. I believe that there are some believers following Jesus in the crowd. And I want to see, firstly, if we could call them up here and just to testify for a moment of what they did with Jesus. I want to ask a lady who's had an issue with blood. She's had this issue for 12 long years. Ask her to come forward. And here she comes. Ma'am, what did you do with Jesus? What, you should probably be dead right now. What is your issue of blood? And can't you see her as she says, I had an issue of blood. No man cared about me. I was living at home. I'd give all that I had to the religious crowd to try to get healthy. I gave all that I had to the doctors to try to get healthy. But nobody cared for me. Nobody could get the job done to get this issue of blood, this disease, off of my life. And she says, one day I heard that Jesus had come to town where I was. And I made every single effort I could to get up off of my rocking chair there in my house. I heard that Jesus had come to town. And so I got up and I started walking out the door, and I saw a crowd, a multitude of people out there talking with Jesus, coming up to Jesus. And I saw a man tell that his daughter was at the point of dying. And I said, I've got to get to Jesus. And so she pushes and she makes her way to get to where Jesus is. And she says, I know that Jesus can heal my need. I know that Jesus can fix my current situation. And these people are in my way, but I'm not going to let people get in the way of me and Jesus. And so she pushes and presses through the crowd till she falls on her knees there at Jesus, and she touches the hem of his garment. And Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, who touched me? And they say, his disciples say to him, Master, the multitude, they throng thee. And you say, who touched me? And he says, someone have touched me, for I perceive that virtue hath gone out of me. And then he turned and he looked, and there she was, laying there on the ground, looking up at him. And he looked at her and he said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. You see, this woman, she had an issue that she needed somebody to help her. And she turned to the only one that could help her. And his name is Jesus. You see, there was multitudes in her way, but she said, I'm not going to let people stand in the way of me and Jesus. I wonder this morning, are you going to let people stand in between you and Jesus? Is there someone in your life between you and God? This lady said, I'm not letting people get in my way. And so she made her way through the crowd. I want to ask somebody else, sir, would you help the blind man to come forward? I don't need no help, is what he's saying. I can see just fine. Here he comes. Sir, what do you mean you can see just fine? He says, oh, there was a day that I was blind and I couldn't see anything at all. I'd been blind walking around saying, somebody help me. And I was sitting there and I heard somebody say that Jesus had come to town. And so I've got up and stumbled my way to where he was. Sir, what happened? I come face to face with Jesus. I've never laid eyes on him before, never laid eyes on anyone before, but he spit on the ground and he rubbed his hand in the dirt, and then he rubbed that dirt over my eyes. And when I got the DNA of Jesus on my eyes, I once was blind, but now I can see. I'm telling you this morning, that is me. I once was blind, but now because of Jesus, thank God, I can see. I want to see somebody else. Somebody else, could you come forward? I see a man. He's been laying at a pool for 38 years. He's not been able to walk. He's been laying there for 38 years. Sir, would you come up here? Sir, we'll help you. We'll help you. And he can walk just fine. He walks up on the platform. Sir, tell us about when you met Jesus. I was laying there at the pool beside Bethesda. And I'd been laying there for 38 years. And I said, if I could just get to the water, but nobody would help me. People just passed me by and nobody would come and help me where I was. But a man named Jesus come to where I was and he said, sir, what is wrong? And I told him that I'd been laying there for 38 years. And he said, rise up, take thy bed, and walk. And in that very moment, I was once unable to walk, and now I can walk. And I took my bed and I went back home. You see, that's what heaven's going to be like one of these days when we get there. The cripple, they've not been able to walk. But when they're in heaven, honey, they're going to be able to walk. That blind man, he wasn't able to see. But in heaven, the blind are made to see. You see, there's no more pain and there's no more death. There's no more sorrows. There's no more diseases. There's no more sickness. There is no more sin in that place. All is made whole because of Jesus. And you can have that today. What will you do with Jesus? Hear the testimony of these. Sir, what is your name? My name is Lazarus. Sir, we were at your funeral. What do you mean your name's Lazarus? Oh, I was laying there dead. I'd been dead for 4 days. And Jesus come to town. And Jesus come and he talked to my sisters. And they said, Master, if you had been here, my brother Lazarus had not died. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And they looked at him and they said, we believe that thou art the Messiah. We believe that thou art the Christ and that he will rise again in the resurrection. But Jesus is saying, oh, it's going to be so much more than at the resurrection. I'm about to blow your mind right now. And so he says, where is your sister Mary? And Mary comes to him and she says, Master, if you've been here, my brother Lazarus had not died. And he says, where have you laid him? And they go to the place where Lazarus has been laid. And he looks at his disciples and he said, take away the stone. And so the disciples go up there and they say, Master, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead for 4 days. And then Jesus said, if y'all would just believe the glory of God, watch what you're about to see. And then he prays and he weeps. And then he cries out, Lazarus, come forth. He had to say Lazarus because if he didn't say Lazarus, everybody else in that graveyard would have came forth. And I'm telling you what, there ain't never been a funeral that Jesus didn't come and interrupt back in that day. I'll tell you, the funeral home director, he hated to see Jesus come to town because he lost a lot of money that day. But anyways, he comes and he says, Lazarus, come forth. And the rest is history. Lazarus, come out of that grave. For you and for me, if you're saved, you were once dead in trespasses and in sin. But because of Jesus, because of the blood of Jesus, you can be free. You can be saved. I want to look at somebody else. Woman, would you come forward? Tell us about you. She says, I've been caught in the act of adultery. And they brought me to Jesus, and they had stones in their hand, and they threw me down at Jesus and said, the law says you should be stoned. What do you say? And he was writing something in the sand, and he got up, and he looked at him and said, ye that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And one by one, all those men began to drop their stones, and then they turned and walked away. And Jesus got back down and started writing in the sand. And he looked at me and he said, woman, where are thine accusers? And she looked around and she said, no man, Lord. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You see, Jesus said to those men, he said, ye that's without sin, let him cast the first stone. You see, they couldn't cast the stone. But Jesus, who was without sin, he had all the rights. He would have been just in doing so, in casting the stone at this lady. But instead, he looked at her with love. And he looked at her with compassion. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. I'm telling you what, Jesus paid the most ultimate sacrifice any man could ever pay. We've been talking about how it's Memorial Day weekend and about how men and women have gave their lives for this country. But most importantly overall, Jesus came to this world and he bled and he died, born of a virgin. And he came and he bled and died on an old rugged cross for your sins and for my sins. And he paid the ultimate sacrifice and gave his life for us. And I'm telling you today that he got up on day three victorious over death, hell, and the grave. I want to see somebody else. Stephen, would you come forward? Stephen, tell us about your experience with Jesus. I was out on the streets preaching when they came to stone me. And they were casting stones at me. The Bible says in Acts chapter number 7, verse 55, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Oh, Stephen, thank you for your testimony, how you saw Jesus standing right beside God. We see some testimonies
of some believers that followed Jesus. I want to know now, are there any unbelievers who know about Jesus? Judas, would you come forward? Would you tell us? I sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. And they went and they arrested him. And I knew what they were going to do. And I knew what Jesus could do. And I've been with Jesus. I've walked with Jesus. I've saw the many miracles. But yet I sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. And in doing so, I sold my own soul. And I knew what I did was wrong. And when I looked and saw him, I went and I took the money back. And I said, I have betrayed the innocent blood. And then he went and he hung himself because he knew what he did was terrible. But he said, I betrayed the innocent blood. That is the only innocent blood, is the blood of Jesus. Caiaphas, would you come forward and tell us about Jesus? This man receives sinners. Hallelujah. Thank you, Caiaphas. That's all you needed to say, was that this man receives sinners. I'm glad that on August the 3rd, 2010, at the Lake Town Baptist Church, Jesus came to where I was, and he saved my sin-sick soul. He received me, a sinner. And if you're saved today, you have been received. You are a sinner. But Jesus, he receives sinners. I've always seen some unbelievers. I want to see, secondly, I want to look at some people with a crown. Pilate, what do you do? Pilate, what happened with you? Oh, you've heard it in your reading already. I said, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And then I washed my hands and said, see ye to it. And Jesus' blood was on my hands. Oh, Herod, what do you have to say about Jesus? I mocked him. I asked him to do a miracle because I heard all the many miracles, but he was innocent. I want to ask another young man with a crown. Sir, would you come forward? Many call you the rich young ruler. Tell us about your experience with Jesus. I came running to where he was, and I said, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And he said, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. And he said, thou knowest the commandments. Honor thy father and thy mother. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. But you see, Jesus only told him five of those commandments. And those are five commandments that deal with man to man, but not man to God. And so he said, master, all these I have observed from my youth. And Jesus said, there's one thing that thou lackest. Go thy way and sell all that thou hast and give to the poor, and take up thy cross and follow me. But I couldn't do it. I couldn't sell all that I had. My riches are too much. I couldn't bear the thought of not having all my riches with me. And I walked away that day sorrowful, because I knew that I made a decision to keep my riches over keeping my soul. And so that day I walked away from Jesus. I want to see another one. Festus, what do you do? And he said, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. He said, Paul, you're a madman. Festus, what else? There was also King Agrippa there with me. King Agrippa, what did you do with Jesus? He said, Paul said in Acts 26, he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. And then King Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. King Agrippa, what do you mean almost? I said, Paul, I could almost be a Christian. I'm right there at it, but I'm not quite ready. And so King Agrippa, history tells us that he never turned to follow Jesus. He never turned to be a Christian. He said, I almost am a Christian, but not entirely. You see, now King Agrippa, he stands back and he says, I was so close to getting saved. I was so close to being on the right track, but yet I was so far away at the same time. You see, when you get to heaven, you don't get into heaven on an almost. You get into heaven on fully the blood or nothing at all. And Agrippa had turned away and said almost, and it was fully nothing at all. Rich young ruler, what a great opportunity. You were face to face with Jesus, but yet he turned away from Jesus. I want to see some others. I want to ask creation. We've heard the testimony of people. Let's ask creation. Creation, what do you have to say about Jesus? Let's look at the angels. In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then in Revelations 4:8, we see the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and the rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. The angels today are singing the praises of the Most High God. They're singing the praises of Jesus the Christ. I want to see, we've seen some angels. I want to ask the demons, would you make your way forward? Tell us what you know about Jesus. And they said, have nothing to do with us, Jesus, thou Son of God. The Bible says in Matthew 8, verse 28, it says, And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gadarenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. And they asked and they said, Don't torture us now. You know why they said, Don't torture us now, torment us not now? Because they know the end of the book. They know that destruction's coming for them. They know that they're going to be judged. They know they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. They already know what's going to happen to them. And they said, We know you're going to torment us, but don't do it right now. Put us into the swine. And so Jesus did. You see, the demons, they know that Jesus is the Son of God. And they know that Jesus has the power to torment them. But yet, he did not at that time. They know that they are defeated. They know their day of judgment is coming. Preacher, then why does the devil fight against us? Why does the devil tell us that God isn't real if he knows for sure that God is real? So that he can take everybody that he possibly can with him in the day of destruction. That is his whole entire purpose. I want to know next out of creation, the rocks. What do you have to say about Jesus? Preacher, the rocks. What do you mean, the rocks? Jesus said there when they was waving the palm branches on the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And they come to him and they said, Tell these to hold their peace. And Jesus said, If these hold their peace, the rocks will cry out. Oh, rocks, what do you have to say? The rocks are crying out that Jesus is the Creator, that God is the Creator. That is what the rocks have to say. I believe, most importantly, there's a rock that has a lot to say. You see, this stone, it was rolled over a tomb that nobody had ever laid in before. And they brought Jesus and laid him inside of that tomb. And they rolled the stone over the tomb. And the governor said, I'm going to seal it so that no man can take Jesus out of there. And so he did. And then he placed his armed guard around that stone. Mr. Stone, the rocks are going to cry out, Mr. Stone, what do you have to say about Jesus? Well, I don't know much. All I know is I was there that day, rolled over top of the tomb, keeping what was in, kept in. But suddenly on the third day, there come an earthquake. And I begin to move. And I didn't even try to move. I just begin to move. And I looked and I saw a man come walking out of that tomb. And then I looked again and then there was nobody else in that tomb. Jesus had risen from that tomb. I wonder now, any other creation, you got to speak. I see a tree. Mr. Tree, can you tell us? I was just a tree. And I heard the multitudes crying out to crucify him. And next thing I know, they start putting me together into the form of a cross. And they put me over top of this man that they called Jesus. He carried me all the way from there up to the top of Golgotha. And there they crucified him on me. And his blood ran down me. Mr. Tree, what do you have to say? That Jesus was innocent and yet he gave his life for those. I want to see next, I want to see the Creator. God Almighty, what do you have to say about Jesus? You see, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 9, it says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. You see, we've heard the testimonies of all these many different people this morning. We've heard the testimony of the angels. We've heard the testimony of the demons. We've heard the testimony of rocks and trees. So we need to hear the testimony of God Almighty. What do you have to say? At the baptism of Jesus, he looked down and he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then up on the mountain of transfiguration, he looked down and said, this is my Son. Hear him. See, thank you, God, for telling us your testimony about who Jesus is. So I want to see, fourthly, this morning I'll be done. You have a selection to make. We've heard the testimonies. You've heard the witnesses. And now there's a crossroads. You have to make a choice of what will you do with Jesus. I'm telling you what, there was a choice that Jesus had to make. And he said, Father, I will go. And so he stepped out of heaven and he came to be born of a virgin as a little baby. And he was raised and yet he sinned not. He was tempted in the wilderness of the devil and yet he sinned not. And he went further and further, healing many and casting out demons and so on and so forth. And then he was cast out from his own, and they chose to crucify him. You see, they didn't crucify Jesus, but Jesus laid down his life for you and for me. They didn't kill him. He laid his life down. He chose to die for you, and he chose to rise for you. He chose to love you, and he chose to forgive you. This morning, he is still the Alpha, and he's still the Omega. He is still the beginning and the end. He is still the Omnipotent One. He is still Creator God. He is still holy. He is still worthy. He is still the Savior. He is still the Shepherd. He is still Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, and the Prince of Peace. He is still all those things and so much more. He is the Lamb of God. He's the only one that can open heaven, and he's the only one that can borrow the gates of hell. He's the only one that can satisfy the punishment and the wrath of an almighty God. He is the only one that can give you redemption. He is the only one that can do for you what no man could ever do for you. I'm telling you, he's the only one that can defeat the devil. You may be sitting back this morning and say, preacher, I've got time to make my decision on what I'm going to do with Christ. We've heard testimonies where they didn't have time. Time wasn't on their side. And I'm telling you this morning, time isn't on your side either. Preacher, I'm already saved. Preacher, I've got time to tell others about Jesus. I'm telling you, time is running shorter and shorter every single day. I think about a revival service that was taking place. And there was a little girl there inside the service. She was 11. And the preacher was preaching about Jesus, and he finished and he gave the invitation, and many souls were saved that evening there at the revival. And he saw that young lady sitting there with her parents, and he saw that she was weeping and that she looked like she was dealing with something, but he didn't go to her right away. And finally, after the service ended, she never moved. He went to her and he said, "Can I pray with you?" And she said, "No, no, I don't want to pray with nobody." And he said, "Honey, do you need to be saved?" And she said, "No, no, not tonight. Not tonight. I've got plenty of time. I'll get saved another night." He said, "Okay." And the parents, they were worried, and they said to the preacher, "Would you pray with us?" And so he did. He prayed with the family. And she went off out to the car, and she hopped in the back seat and buckled up while they stayed in there and prayed. And so finally, the preacher said, "We just got to trust the Lord." And so the family, they hopped in the car, and they were driving to go back home. And as they were driving back home, they made it to where their house was, and they have to make a left turn across the road to get into their driveway, when suddenly a car came speeding from the other direction, and he hit them, T-boned them, and it flipped that car with that family in it. It threw the dad out of the front seat, it threw the mom out of the other seat, but the little girl was trapped with her legs there in the back seat. And the fella that hit him, no damage was really done to his car, and he was drunk, and he hopped out, and he said, "What hit me?" And he got out a cigarette, and he lit a match, and he lit it, and he threw that match on the ground. And that match hit a vapor trail, and it went, and it hit that car, and that car started to burn. And that little girl was in there, inside that fire, inside that car, screaming and yelling. And her mom came running to her, and she said, "Honey, pray for Jesus to save you. Pray for Jesus to save you." And she said, "It is too late. It is too late. It is too late." And they broke the shoulders of the daddy trying to hold him back from going into that fire. And that girl, she died there that day. 11-year-old girl died on her way to hell. She had her moment. She had her chance. She thought she had a whole life ahead of her. I mean, who wouldn't? She's just 11. She thought she had so much more time, but that was the only time that she had. That was her last chance. Yeah, you may say, "Preacher, I've got time to tell others about Jesus." I think of another time that the preacher was headed out, and he was going to take the mail off and take it to the post office and drop it off. And he was passing an intersection, and God told him, he said, "Go and stop at that house and tell that man about me." And he said, I will on the way back. And I got to get this done for the secretary. And so he did. He kept on driving. He went to the post office. And he come back, and as he did, his heart sank as he saw flashing lights there beside that house. And he went in and he said to the officer, "What happened?" And the officer said, "Preacher, it's not good. We've come and we've found this man. He was standing on the train tracks and a train come through. And there's nothing left of him." And they said, "Do you think that there's any hope? Do you think that he was saved?" And the preacher said, "His blood is on my hands." You see, the preacher thought he had time to go tell that man about Jesus, but yet time had already passed by. You see, we don't know how much time we have left here on this earth. We are not promised another breath. We are not promised tomorrow. The decision is so important. What will you do with Jesus? If you would all please stand, somebody come to the instruments. I wonder this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder this morning, do you have somebody that you know that's lost? By a show of hands, you know somebody that's lost. And you know that you need to talk to them. You know you need to pray for them. And you say, "I know that somebody is lost." God sees that hand. Now's a good opportunity to come and to pray for that person that's lost. Now's a good opportunity I wonder, maybe this morning, maybe you're here and you're not saved. You've not ever been truly born again. You've never known Jesus as your personal Savior. Maybe if you would just slip your hand up, I'm not going to embarrass you. I ain't going to come to you. I ain't going to call you out. It's just about a show of hands. You've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You're at a crossroads. What will you do with Jesus? You've never made that decision. Maybe just slipping up a hand. If I'm lost, preacher, I'm lost. I wonder, maybe if you did slip up your hand, maybe if you would take that step of faith, knowing what you've heard about how Jesus has changed the lives for all these others, knowing that Jesus can do the same for you. If you've heard that today, maybe you could slip forward. I'll come pray with you. I'd be glad to. Pastor Gunn would be glad to pray with you. Our grandpa, Pastor Roy, will be glad to pray with you. Father, God, I thank you.